Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed. In this episode, I'll be interviewing Marcus Brigstocke.
Actor, satirist, gourmet, bog snorkeler, sexy pedestrian, hot stepper, lyrical gangster, Mr. Officer. Marcus Brigstocke, welcome to Inside the Comedian.
Thank you very much indeed.
Have you been up to much? Have you been busy?
Yes, always busy, as you know. Yes. Always busy. Creating new things.
Good.
Making new stuff.
I hate those comedians who destroy old things, don't you? Those ones who just go around destroying the things that others have created. I'm glad you're in opposition
like
to them.
Edinburgh. Yes.
Like Edinburgh, yes. Brick by brick.
Yeah. No, I have. I've been. I've set up a club night in Balham called The Castle, and it's for, you know, sort of left-leaning liberal comedians.
Thank God.
To try. No, but to try out in a safe space I've created other politics.
Interesting.
Other
interesting
political ideas. Yeah.
So what with a view to then adopting them on a permanent basis?
Just kind of as a, you know, I just felt that like there's a sort of liberal left consensus in comedy, and I thought I'd sooner the liberal left, address that problem than have a load of right wingers come in and do it. So this is really, I got Stuart Lee came down. Yes. Stuart came down and did 15 minutes of incredibly racist material.
Wonderful.
Not indiscriminate either. Yes. You know, sometimes people are a bit vague, you know.
Absolutely.
Like people for whom racism makes them squeamish can be a bit vague about it, and it's like, oh, clearly I'm being ironic. This was
specific.
Absolutely spot on.
Wow. Yeah. That sounds very cathartic in a lot of ways, because
it was possibly,
I get very tired of pretending to care for others, you know.
But this is what's been really interesting is bringing comedians together and kind of letting them just have that play space, as it were, just to go, in a sense, fuck them, you know. Yes. I was amazed Rob Newman came down.
Yes.
And yeah, Christ, he's got some very interesting ideas about the poor.
I've always got that sense, actually.
Yeah, but when I say interesting, I mean very, very funny.
Yes.
But also sort of punitive. And yeah, it's been good. It's been a really, really good, worthwhile project. Well, I think things are going to change.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
Yeah.
If we could start at the beginning of your career, if that's all right,
yes,
just as you did. I think it would make sense. Do you think you always wanted to be a comedian, or was there another aspiration that was abandoned along the way?
Well, you probably already know, but no, originally I didn't plan on being a comedian at all. I was originally going to be a dancer.
Yes.
And that was the plan. The first three Edinburgh shows
were all dance-based.
Were all dance-based. And then, but they were only reviewed by comedy reviewers.
That is a shame. Why was that, do you think?
It was an administrative cop-out.
Yes.
Not by my people.
Right.
It was specifically by Brian Logan.
Right.
Who reviews comedy for The Guardian, we think. There's no way of telling. But it was Brian Logan, funnily enough, who really defined what I then became as a comedian. He, in a, the headline of his review, he called me the callback king.
Right.
And what he meant about, so for people who don't know, you know, the callbacks in comedy when you mention something and then you mention it later. But what had actually happened was that I had a routine, and Brian Logan had come straight from another comedian's show who also had a similar routine.
Right.
And I think he just got muddled up and thought that my whole show was a series of clever callbacks.
Whereas, in fact, it was actually an hour of jazz dance, wasn't it?
It was an hour of jazz dance.
I mean, it's incredibly coincidental that you called back some material from another comedian in that regard, because there must have been very few words in yours. I mean,
none at all.
I remember the poster. It was just your legs and one of your feet holding a microphone.
That's right. Oh, you got to remember the poster.
Yeah, I remember the poster. Wow.
Yeah, I remember the poster. That was good. Great show. Still very proud of that. I would like to go back and do that.
Dancing again.
Not just dancing, but that show specifically. I was 22 when I did it. I'm 44 now, so it feels like...
Yes.
It feels like it's now's time. The time when I'm double the age. And maybe do twice the length of show. Do a two-hour dance slot.
I think Edinburgh's crying out for it, to be honest.
I think Edinburgh's crying, whether it's for that... or not, it's hard to tell, but yeah.
Yes, I read that you actually, for a while, were a podium dancer on the oil rigs. Is that right? I think I read this. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Genuinely.
Oh, okay. Then maybe we shouldn't go there. So
it's so hard to navigate around that, because that is, broadly speaking, what happened.
Well, fair enough. So how did you get out of that paradise and into the world of comedy?
What happened, as you probably know, is that I come from an incredibly powerful family.
Yes.
Not just rich, but powerful. And doors have been held open for me. I worked regularly at the BBC as a comedian long before I ever did anything on stage.
I was given
Chat About, the comedy chat show that I had.
Yes.
On BBC Two, that was live show. That was really the first 2 years. A lot of people kind of find their craft in the clubs. Very few people watching. I found mine on BBC Two at 7 p.m.
Yes.
On Chat About.
Good
fun.
It was good fun. I remember it. I remember it fondly until that episode when you just got bored, pushed over your chair and walked off.
Yeah.
And it was immediately cancelled. But you got a new series of a new thing straight away.
Straight away. But I got a new series. Mm. It was at around that time that more and more people at the BBC felt that women in comedy were underrepresented and came to me and asked if there was anything I could do about it.
Yes.
And I said, yes, I think I can.
Yes.
And so I did. And I did the Sarah Clipworth show.
That's right.
Which was me as Sarah Clipworth.
That's right. Interviewing a series of other men as women.
Yeah.
And I think that really did readdress the balance on the BBC for a long time.
Well, we had our fair share of knocks, but it has to be said, I think it set a ball rolling, didn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
And now we see on programmes like Mock the Week, they'll have up to one woman laughing at what the boys say.
That's right.
And in my own little way, I feel that I've at least helped a bit.
You've made regular appearances on topical radio show The Punt Crogram. Alongside Tom Cones,
yes.
Guitar owner Monty Boone, and comedy double act Renton Crevis.
Yes.
What's it like to be left on in the kitchen when many households have gone back to the living room to watch television? In so many households.
it's great. I mean, it really is. I'm enormously grateful. And of course, radio is the second most intimate form of broadcasting after television.
Yes,
it's so intimate. You're so close to people, often people trapped in their cars and stuff like that, who have very, very little choice. Yeah. I often think about that, and I think it's either me or Simon Mayo for them.
Yes.
And for most, it's Simon Mayo, but sometimes it's me. But I've worked with some great people on the radio.
Who have been the best, do you think?
I have.
you have been. Right, I see. Yes. Who was a close second, or?
Now you're asking. There have been so many, but I was very, very lucky to make a long-running topical series you'll have heard with Paddy McGuinness, and it was based on Take Me Out.
Yes,
his program, but instead of a dating format, we were able to get politicians.
Yes.
To be on the programme, and then a single voter, and then the politicians. It worked exactly like Take Me Out, but with politicians there and a single voter who was then allowed to go on a date with one of the politicians.
And they would try to woo the voter, wouldn't they?
They'd try and woo the voter, and then Paddy McGuinness would say, "No likey," and then that was it.
That was it. For legal reasons, because it was a distinctly different show.
It had a very different aesthetic.
Yes.
And then we'd turn
lots of mahogany, wasn't there? Lots
and
green leather.
Yeah. On the radio, with hindsight, the turning off of the lights didn't work as well as we thought it would.
Yeah, I can see that.
It would be okay.
And the mahogany budget was probably unnecessary.
I have to say, I mean, I'm a big fan of the BBC, but
yes,
that was a massive error.
Yes,
that was, it's not Savile sized. But it's not far off. It's not far off.
No, I'm tempted to pull on that thread, but I'm not going to.
Leave it alone.
Are you?
Pull My Thread was another.
I remember Pull My Thread.
That's a radio series I did where we did exactly that. Someone would say something contentious at the beginning.
Yes.
And then a panel of comedians would try and avoid tugging at the thread of something just. Oh, so tempting.
Yes.
So tempting.
And it was a lot of that noise, I remember. It was I couldn't.
Yeah. The BBC wanted to change its name to.
And the programme lasted as long as it took to unravel an entire jumper, didn't
Correct.
It?
That was, that's right.
It's just however long it took, that's how long the programme would be.
Yeah. Good fun.
Often crashed the news. when you do topical.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Programs. Do you find you are a person with many strong opinions, or do you often just sort of force it because you're on a deadline?
I know. awkward.
You never lose it, do you? You're right back there.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't. The more topical stuff I've done, the more research I've done, the more I found that I actually don't care what happens. Yes. I don't care very much what happens to anyone or anything. Because after a while, you do sort of realise, what's the point? And that was another topical show I did.
What's the point?
What's the point? Where we just had a load of Lib Dems and me on a panel.
Yeah, just packing up your desks, weren't you, while you were chatting?
Packing up.
Yeah. It's a lovely format, actually.
We used the stuff on the desks as prompts, as political jumping off points.
And it was nice.
Oh, a stapler. Yeah. Do you remember when you formed the coalition? And stuff like that.
Oh, a mug. Do you remember when you were formed scapegoated the by them?
Yes.
That sort of thing. No, it was a very nice format. I mean, is it your favourite, do you think, doing things about the news, or do you have a penchant for fiction as well?
I do love fiction. I absolutely love fiction, and the novels are a sort of side angle to what I do.
Yes.
I mean, they're all based on something political. You know, that's always the starting point for the novels.
Yes, like the enormous Westminster spider that was based on on the layout of Westminster.
That's
very
right.
much so.
That's right, exactly.
Yes.
And it's what I wanted was to create something accessible, so in the story, the enormous Westminster spider, both literally and metaphorically, climbs up the water spout.
Yes. And it's incredible. You don't notice the structure when you're reading it, do you?
It's
because
only
it's 800 pages.
And it's a big piece of work.
And the rain comes towards it. Spoilers, but the rain comes and sort of washes the spider out.
The whole thing out. And of course, the eight legs of government, each represented.
Yes.
In
the spider.
Yes.
It's a lot easier to understand.
And again, spoilers, but they are. Democracy.
Yes.
Debate. Punctuality. Interviews. Languages.
Yes.
Modern science. Gastronomy. And the law.
And the law, yes, that's right.
And the law. The law is only mentioned last, not because it's the least important, but actually because it's the most important.
Yes, so it's the only one we remember if we were to go over them again. yes. Which we both... I feel those eight pillars.
Yes, that's right.
I feel those eight pillars have been eroded recently, don't you?
I feel, especially
gastronomy. I sometimes think Theresa May's government doesn't represent gastronomy at all.
Well, there are very few serious gastronomes in the Conservatives at all.
Yes.
Pickles.
Yeah. That's about it.
That's it.
That's about it. You are a firm favourite on television, as you've mentioned, as well as on the live scene. What's your favourite way to force people to laugh at you? Do you think
it's been well on telly? That's a lot easier to do,
right?
Because of what's become known as the Brickstock glance.
Yes.
And people, again, this is a Brian Logan thing. I didn't know I was doing it until Logan picked up on it, and it was ended up being a huge story in The Guardian when Logan picked up on the glasses off. It's a sort of glasses off look into camera, and it's designed, I suppose. I didn't design it deliberately, but now that I'm very conscious of it, after I've said something that ought to be funny but isn't,
yes,
but has arguably some pith, I will take the glasses off, look in the camera, and people laugh out of a mixture of sympathy and awkwardness.
Yeah. You started your own comedy event, actually, quite successfully, the Solitude Festival.
Yes.
Where you perform continually alone over a long weekend.
Yeah.
What was the thinking behind that? To just take yourself off to a distant Norwegian lighthouse and...
Yeah.
And talk continually until it ends.
It's based on what I call the tyranny of laughter. And what often happens in comedy is that you end up just so slavishly pursuing the approval of a room full of people.
Yes.
And you think, after a while, you do start to ask, what am I doing? And I had, as I'm sure you'll remember, the last time I appeared on Have I Got News For You, when I say slap, they say cuffed, David Attenborough.
Yes.
They'd finally convinced David Attenborough to be host, and I thought, as a physical bit of comedy, because the thing with the Have I Got News For You is it's so seated, it's so sedentary.
Yes, I mean, you were quite far from him.
Yeah.
I mean, you really had to lean across that desk.
Right across, and I hadn't been booked on the show.
No. So it was, you were leaning over Ian Hislop.
Over Ian Hislop, yes. Over Richard Osborne.
That's right. And
all the way, and I say slap, they say cuffed.
Yes.
David Attenborough, and he's a very elderly man, as you can tell from his voice.
Yes.
How he responded to the slap, I say slap, they say cuff.
Yes.
But it was after that, and I thought, come on, that was funny. And
but you realise maybe you had a problem. You need to wean yourself off the laughter of human beings, and just perform only to sort of seabirds in the dark.
A lot of the best stuff I've done has been during the Solitude Festival, and I'm very proud of it. We've lost a lot of money.
Of course, I mean, we have seen the billboards everywhere. Yeah. Did you buy a ticket or did you get in on a comp?
No, I know people.
Okay, fine. Yeah. So, will it be happening again? Do you think it's a necessary thing?
But I can't tell you when.
Of course. Do you ever record it? I mean, can we hear it?
No. And in that sense, it's very true to its artistic value system. Yes.
You are the only one who will ever hear your own thoughts.
I mean, in a lot of ways, I could have just done it in Edinburgh.
Yes.
Same thing.
Yeah, just go into C venues, you would have been fine. Marcus Brigstocke, what scares you?
What really scares me is others.
The Nicole Kidman film. Yes. Yes. Yeah, it was scary, wasn't it?
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrifying. I'm up nights with that.
Yeah, the little albino children and all the curtains. Ooh.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Nicole Kidman herself, I have always found a very alarming character.
Right. Pray why?
Well, I met Nicole on three occasions. I was introduced to her by Tom Cruise.
Right.
Who I only met on one occasion and was trying to palm me off. And so I ended up in one
of those... I feel the listeners at home need the gesture as well. Otherwise... That's confusing. He was trying to get rid of you, was he? Or
eventually, yes.
Right.
Once the palming off had failed, and so Nicole Kidman and I were stuck in this incredibly awkward conversation.
Right.
Well, I felt neither of us wanted to be there. You know, and it was really awkward. A lot of sort of, so what are you up to? She said, and then sort of pretended she didn't know.
Of course.
It was embarrassing for both of us. And then I met her again at a garden party.
Right.
Held by Peter Serafinovich. Peter Serafinovich, of course, as you know, he's much beloved of the Hollywood A-list.
That's right, yes. For his garden parties.
Chiefly for his garden parties.
Yes.
And I met Nicole Kidman there. And I sort of barreled over and I said, oh, that was a bit awkward last time when we met and all the rest of it. And she... She burst into tears.
Wow.
Burst into tears.
Did you ever find out why?
I did. I stayed to ask, why are you crying? Mm. Again and again and again. This comes back to probably my relationship with my father, because that's how he, to really all of my childhood. That,
yes.
Just that question again and again and again.
And for some reason, Nicole Kidman reminded you of your younger self.
Very much so.
Right, yes.
I looked almost exactly like her.
Right.
And had, between the ages of 4 and 7, a sort of faux Australian accent, as she does. And
you were something of a BMX bandit as well.
I was a massive BMX bandit. Thank you. And then the third time I met her, she was the other guest on Have I Got News For You, when I say slapped. They say cuffed. King of the back ref.
That's true. Well,
that was for the listeners at home. I just took the glasses off and leant into where the camera should be,
but isn't currently. One day. Well, I can see why Nicole would scare you so much from those three stories of how you terrified her. They say that behind the smiling mask of every comedian is a literal murderer. Do you think that's true?
I think you're I think that what you've actually read there is a review of my book, which says behind the smiling mask of every comedian there's a literary murderer.
Maybe that's where I've got it
from. They read The Great Westminster Spider.
Yes, of course. I'd forgotten about the whole murderer subplot.
I'm yet to physically murder another human.
But that does not mean you're... Oh, or does it? I mean, if you are a murderer in waiting, are you still a murderer?
Ooh, we're into thought crime now.
We are into thought crime. Which Stuart Lee had a lot to say the other night at your club.
At the castle. Yes, he did. He believes in pre-prosecution, as he describes it.
Mm.
Just identifying individuals likely to have views different from his own. And prosecute them. I mean, mercifully, his list is constrained at the moment just to other comedians.
Marcus Brickstock, thank you for letting us inside you.
Thank you for listening to the last in this series of Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed. For further details of live recordings of the next series, please go to MrDavidReed.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. on the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.